Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Market View on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero, joined as usual by JP Ong on the phone.
Howdy, Judy.
Hey, on the phone this week, but maybe in the studio next week, right? Or the week after?
Yeah, there. Fingers crossed. Maybe I will make an appearance, much to the chagrin of some people at the studio.
You are only allowed in the studio if you get a haircut first.
Okay, then I'm staying home then. But, yeah, you'll be seeing the Shih Tzu style coming in. Thank God we work in radio, right?
Yeah, haha, very funny. Now out there. Outside of the windows and where people are wondering today, since it is the lifting of circuit breaker measures phase one, it's a beautiful day. Blue skies, nice puffy white clouds, and on the markets as well. It was looking pretty good before the lunch break. How's it looking now?
Yeah, so the skies are looking blue and the markets are looking green today. They are holding on to the strong start. The Straits Times Index up by about 1.5% today. That's 37 points higher and now trading at 2,588 points. And value turnover is also looking pretty good, I'd say. There's good appetite on the market. There's about 867 million Singapore dollars in total trading activity. The winners are outpacing the losers by a ratio of about 2-1. Right now, there's about 252 stocks, REITs and trusts in the green, 125 in the red. So this is painting a good picture for markets here in Singapore. The region's also looking pretty green, but I think the sentiment here, you have to chalk it also down to the phase one easing of the circuit breaker measures. At long last, we have finally gotten here. Now, as many know, this doesn't mean that everybody is free to go and do as they please. This just means that the children are now allowed to go back to school. We are seeing manufacturing jobs and some of these other companies where you don't need to have a lot of people clumped up together in big groups allowed to return to their offices. So again, it's the return of a significant amount or a slice at least of actual economic activity to Singapore. And I think it's just a sigh of relief that we're here and maybe also carrying over towards that promise or that possibility that more businesses could even reopen sooner, even before the end of the month. But always important to stress that this will all be dependent if COVID-19 cases in the local community continue to show signs of declining. So fingers crossed, that's the deal. If they start to decline, they may consider letting even more businesses open. I think this is at least coloring a sentiment in the markets. It's a sigh of relief that we've been really looking for with regards to these very long and rather challenging circuit breaker measures that have been in place here in Singapore. The rest of the region also looking fairly green today, with the exception of mainland markets, but losses out in mainland China, not even that big. The Shanghai Composite is practically flat today, and the Shenzhen Bourse just down by about 0.25%. Everywhere else also is sustaining and nursing steady gains. The Nikkei 225 is up by about 1.5%. The ASX 200 in Australia down by trading about 0.4% in the green, while the Korean KOSPI is up by about 0.9%. The Hang Seng still extending their gains. They're still trading higher, up by about 145 points. And the Taiwan-weighted stock exchange also trading about 0.3% higher. There's a bit of a balancing act here because markets are still looking forward to the gradual reopening of even more economies and many more other companies and the countries now talking about trying to create these travel bubbles to try and encourage business and essential travel between some of these countries where there are signs of the COVID-19 pandemic really starting to be tamed, for lack of a better term. But there is this worry now that the ongoing unrest that we're seeing across major U.S. cities over the last couple of days because of the killing of that African-American man, George Floyd, this is keeping markets and futures, at least on Wall Street, in the red and slightly in the red today. It's giving them a bit of a reality check and making people worry that this could actually hamper consumers' confidence in the United States even more. So there is a bit of a balancing act going on, but for the most part, markets in the Asia-Pacific region still holding on to these hopes of the gradual opening. And the gradual easing of these lockdown and circuit breaker measures. And here in Singapore, you're seeing it as a textbook example of that. The Straits Times Index up by about 1.5% today.
Which is, I'm looking at across the region, and that's great. I wish the Singapore dollar was a little bit stronger, though.
Yeah, I think this is the thing, too. Let me check on this right now for you. We have actually strengthened the touch, actually. You're seeing the Singapore dollar now. Okay, maybe it's not at levels you want them at, Clarissa, but we are about a tenth of a percent stronger today, 0.1% stronger against the greenback at 1.40 against the U.S. dollar now, okay? We have seen it at, on firmer ground, on more solid territory. We've seen them flex before. But with rates and global rates continuing to trend towards the downside, and we do know that the rates here in Singapore and overnight lending rates have also fallen. In fact, keep in mind that the other day, OCBC announced that they were going to cut or have the effective interest on their 360 savings account. They have said that because of their interest rate environment, they can't sustain these. I mean, it just goes to show just how far rates have fallen. And when rates come down to a certain level, that does add some weakening pressure to the Singapore dollar. But also keep in mind that the Singapore dollar is also very sensitive to the Chinese yuan's moves. Now, there is worry that the Chinese yuan will continue to weaken if U.S.-China trade tensions begin to resurface and the decoupling or a complete break between the world's two largest economies happens. That could take the Singapore dollar down with it. Today, though, at least the Singapore dollar also take just a sly grin on the side of their lips. They are a little stronger today at 1.40. But again, there's a long way to go back to those levels we saw them at the start of the year.
Well, call me greedy then. Now, all eyes on Singapore Airlines as they announced that they are going to be opening up more flights and more routes, which is good news for some, especially if you are requiring to make essential travel for business, etc. And SIA also in the news because the directors have opted not to subscribe for rights of the mandatory convertible bonds. JP, this is all you.
Yeah, all right. So let's take this one. Let's take first things first. The fact the reopening and the resumption of certain flights for Singapore Airlines, and I think it's important to what you stressed a while ago that this is for essential travel for the most part. But nevertheless, we're seeing Singapore Airlines actually jumping today. They're up by 4.9%, Clarissa, trading at $4.07 a piece. Just to recap, there are a number of routes and a number of that are going to be reinstated these services. That will go to a lot of Australian cities and Australian and New Zealand cities, actually, Adelaide, Brisbane, Melbourne, Auckland, Christchurch. They're also going to reinstate flights to Hong Kong, Medan in Indonesia, Amsterdam, and Cebu. So if I want to visit my parents, I'm going to have to tell my dad to hop on a plane and go down and meet me in Cebu if I decide to go. But nevertheless, this is for business and essential travel for the most part. And it only is going to see a very minimal revival in their capacity. Before this happened, Singapore Airlines announced that they had cut 96% of their capacity and have grounded 138 planes. Now, with this reinstated flight, Singapore Airlines' vacant capacity or unused capacity has now fallen a little bit, just 94%. So you're seeing just a 2% improvement there. But nevertheless, any improvement at the moment is going to be welcomed by anybody. I think the other interesting thing, though, about Singapore Airlines has to be that second part with regards to the multiple mandatory convertible bonds that they issued as part of the big fundraising exercise they did. Now they did approve this. Shareholders approved the mandatory convertible bonds, but a number of directors from Singapore Airlines have actually chosen to let their rights actually lapse or expire without exercising them. For instance, SIA's chief executive or CEO Goh Chun Pong has let his provisional allotment of about 3.34 million rights of MCBs lapsed this week. Non-executive chairman Peter Xia has also let his allotment of about 73,160 rights lapse. There's a number of directors that have actually done this. Now, they have chosen to take up the share rights offers, at least, that they were allotted. But I think it's a bit of a head-scratcher and raises a few questions. Usually, you'd expect a lot of the managers and the directors of a company to actually come in and support these rights issues and take up these rights offers as a vote of confidence. But they have decided to exercise their equity rights offers or the stock rights offers, but not take up these mandatory convertible bonds. They've had let them lapse without exercising them. Now, Singapore Airlines has actually said through a spokesperson that these directors have to act on their personal capacity and that they do not comment on their individual investment decisions. Fair enough. They have the right to do what they want, but it does raise a few eyebrows as to why the directors have decided to shy away from these mandatory convertible bonds and what that might say. If that does mean that there are a few more question marks and uncertainties surrounding the country's large, the country's flagship carrier. But at least today on the markets, the SIA is flying. They're up by 4.9%, as I said, $4.07 a piece.
All right. Well, we're going to end today's Market View with a story that we're going to do because my birthday is involved.
All right. Sure.
You're wondering, what is she talking about? The XGX is launching 10 single stock futures on my birthday.
Ah, June 15th. We are almost there. We're almost there. I think that's a hint for me to get a, find a cake for someone I speak to. All right, fine. So look, the XGX has actually decided to launch 10 Singapore single stock futures this coming June 15th. I guess that's Jeff's birthday gift to you, right? But nevertheless, they decided to launch this because of the growing demand for a broader suite of Singapore-linked equity products. Now, we have seen the Singapore Exchange actually broaden and continue to deepen the offerings they have with regards to the derivatives, options, and contracts that they have for markets. And they are going to broaden this by offering these single stock futures on 10 particular equities. They're going to be offering this for the big three, DBS and UOB and OCBC, ComfortDelGro, Genting Singapore, Keppel Corporation, Singtel, Thai Beverage, Wilmar, and Yangtze-Chang Shipbuilding. And most of these are actually included on the SGX's MSCI Singapore Free Index stock. And this could also be part of the SGX's effort to try and double-step or try to hasten or speed up their offerings. Because remember, last week, the SGX actually dropped that news that they were going to be discontinuing almost all of the futures and contracts that they offer on MSCI equity index futures and options. The only one they're going to be keeping are the contracts on MSCI Singapore index. And a lot of these contracts are actually going to move over to the Hong Kong Exchange. So there seems to be at least a growing impetus on the part of the SGX to try and try and reinvigorate their offerings for derivatives and for these futures contracts so far. And they will be offering this at least come June 15.
Well, like I said, it is my birthday. So it is an offer that I probably will not forget.
No, absolutely not. Probably not.
We can talk about it a couple of days before.
Yeah, I mean, hey, if that's how you want to celebrate your birthday, and who am I to judge?
Okay, now, today's Tuesday. What are you going to be doing on primetime?
Well, today on primetime, we're going to be looking at the markets from here across the Europe and also leading into how the U.S. actually might react. We did say that futures were trading slightly in the red. It seems that there's just a little bit of trepidation now because of the ongoing unrest in the U.S. But we're also going to be recapping on Market View today, or at 5:40 p.m., the recent earnings season of Singapore and what the outlook is moving forward. We actually got to speak to Adrian Loh, who is the head of research at UOB Kay Hian, for his insights on earnings moving forward and whether or not we actually have seen the worst of the first quarter downturn that brought markets into bear market territory. As you can see, we are now within striking distance of 2,600. This could be the start of an actual steady recovery for the SPI. But is there much upside based on UOB Kay Hian's target the level for the Straits Times Index year end? Well, you'll have to tune in and listen to my interview with him, which I conducted just earlier this morning.
Are we basically done with results season?
I would say we're mostly done. I think
Singtel was last week, right?
Singtel was the one that really recapped everything. But I think the big focus now is going to be on second quarter earnings. As we know, the SGX has moved towards a semi-annual or half-year, six-month reporting standard from quarterly. So there's going to be a lot more activity and a lot more updates, at least outside of business updates, actual earnings releases, for official earnings releases from some of these companies. But as we know, the second quarter or April to June is when we saw 2 months of circuit breaker measures really impact Singapore. And there are expectations that this is going to hurt even more than what we saw in the first quarter.
And we are looking forward to the next series of PMI numbers coming up soon, aren't we?
Well, the PMI numbers just came out yesterday, actually, and we did see those. But we are waiting for Singapore's PMI numbers. They are due out tomorrow night. Now, there were some encouraging signs for PMI, at least out of mainland China. There was manufacturing gauge there actually expanded, but everywhere else across the world there were signs of deep contraction. Japan, South Korea both posted their lowest levels since 2009. And out in Europe, there were signs of a bit of a recovery, but they have warned that any economic recovery in Europe is going to be a long and slow one. And we'll see where Singapore's PMI numbers fit in that particular matrix when they release tomorrow night.
Well, to quote our Prime Minister, it's a marathon, not a race.
Absolutely.
We'll get there. We will get there.
Yeah, that's 2020 for you.
On that note, it is a Market View with JP Ong. I'm Clarissa Montero. This is Money FM 89.3. Coming up soon is the news.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.